Hello and welcome to episode 103 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deion Tibbs and I am joined by our second time guest appearance from Coach John Mosley from Last Chance U and ELAC basketball. How you doing this morning, Coach?
Doing well, man. Just finished up the last part of the season. We had a great year. We were in the Final Four and everybody out there expects us to win it all, but it doesn't work that way. But we had a great season, had a great group.
Yeah, 27-4 from what I've seen, right?
Yeah, yep. And, had the game in our hands at the Final Four and, a few missed buckets, few missed calls. We'll get it at some point, but it's not many groups that get that far. So I know the expectations when you watch the show is like it's the happy ending is you win the championship. We all cheer and go to Disneyland.
Right.
But in reality, that's what we've done was remarkable, to say the least.
Incredible. Incredible. And you mentioned the show. We had you on for season one right after that time. Since then, season two has come out. You could check that out on Netflix if you guys haven't already. But what would you say is the difference between being on camera and things of that nature in season one compared to season two?
Well, didn't know what to expect. Myself and none of the players, and didn't realize the impact that it would have, the first season would have. And so as we look at that, man, the guys showed up with, there's some that, in some cases had an agenda, and I watched the camera and I was looking like, man, I didn't like what they caught last time. It was a little bit tougher to be authentic as it was the first season. The first season, I just was like, man, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to just be me and do me. Second season, you kind of aware of it a little bit more. It's hard. That's why it'd be tough for me to say I'd jump in here and do it a third time, because you'd really be conscious of what's going on with the cameras. And you may try to, intentionally communicate things that you want to be communicated, and you may intentionally take things out and you lose some authenticity. So it'd be tough for me to say I'd do it a third time, because the authenticity would be kind of watered down.
Yeah. One of the most interesting parts of season two was your relationship with Josh Phillips. I felt like kind of broke down the barriers and stigmas with autism and with Black kids and autism in general. What are some practical and encouraging things you can provide other men in your profession about the importance of like nurturing and supporting athletes in like all walks of life?
Well, you know what? I'm always going to be a male advocate, and I'm always going to be I believe in that we have some qualities and traits that we still need. And for us to break down, I know there's to break down masculinity or anything. I don't believe in that. But with saying that, we do have to be conscious and aware that if there are some issues, if there are poor responses, if there are warning signs, then we got to pause. We got to pause with all that, and we got to do our research and take a look and see what's going on in these young men's lives or anybody's life. In no way am I saying stop being men. And I think there's a portion of our society that just wants us to stop being men and say let's fix men. Like, no, don't stop being men. We just need to pause on the turn up,
right?
And take a look and see what's going on. And then go from there. And I think that's what I made the mistake of not doing initially, is I'm so busy like, hey, let's go. We got to be tough. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to be responsible. You got to take it on the chin. You got to do this. And without pausing to say, okay, before I go into that, let's see what's going on in their lives so that I can help them respond and help them get through it. Otherwise, they're going to reject anything that you're trying to, and that goes for all these young men. They're going to reject it if they don't trust you and they don't know that you're going through these burdens and what they're going through. I still believe in how I believe it's tough love, it's grinding them, it's making them, holding them accountable to, all the way is teaching them how to be tough, teaching them how to get through the, but first in order to get them to respond in that way. And you got to pause and realize and see what's going on. And if there's some things that's preventing them from, from growing, then you got to address it and you have to know it. And then once they know that, man, they'll fall right in line, and then you can love on them and they'll love back. And they'll respond once you know, and they know that you know what they're going through and you know the challenges. You're not just barking down their throat.
Yeah. And that's hard, right? That's always been like something, one of those old ways of being like, if you're showing emotion, if you're showing feelings, that means you aren't tough. And so
right.
that was something that I saw with this situation with Josh that just kind of struck me as something that's kind of trying to change that mindset that, like, people have always thought, especially, you know, with the men, like, being tough and trying to, you know, do it without having to cry or show any kind of emotion.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a place for that. And I think it's still necessary. I mean, I think we still called to be I don't think the ground level military is over with. I mean, there's some toughness that still needs to be had. But before we can build that toughness, before we can build these men and these tough men and the men that can take it on the chin and the men that has thick skin so that they can survive through whatever other challenges, you know, racial challenges or whatever challenges in society. First, in order for them to handle that, we have to tear down the layers and see, hey, what's going on, so that we can build you up. So it's just learning the young man, and realizing who they were. And I'm like, why won't he respond? Why doesn't he see that this is good for him to work hard, to not respond to negative, to why can't he see that this is good for him? This is going to help him when he move on to the next phase. And he just can't see it because he can't get past the challenges that they're dealing with initially. Yeah. And once we get past that, then we can build men.
Very important. I know you're a season now, you just finished your season past what we saw on season two, but at the end of season two, we see Coach Rob get a head coaching job of his own, and kind of talk about the impact that he had with you guys and what was it like to see him get a job going on in his journey.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what, man, I've always felt like with all these young men, in order for me to help them, it takes a village. And so I'm always an advocate of having great men around me. And I'm, you know, when guys reach out to me and want to coach and coaches want to be a part of this, or I'll reach out to guys and want them to coach with us, man, I'm looking for great men and that are like-minded. And so Rob, he's like-minded and I can't hold him back, man. He's got to move on. I was literally shocked and it was literally a blessing. I thank God it was, divine that he was there. It during the two seasons where the filming, he was able to help me keep it together. And like, we literally met three months before the show started filming. And I didn't tell him we were filming. I was just like, he just said, hey, I heard, you know, I'm just leaving the high school, want to be a part of something. Heard that you good people and want to come learn some stuff from you. And I'm looking around like, man, this dude is too good to be here. I'm like, sure, come on. And then he came and it just clicked. And you know what, man, it was, I think God, he kind of put it all, pieced it all together so that the seeds can be planted so that we can show well. And I asked God to help us, that he be glorified in all this. And I think he brought the right people and Rob to help, enhance what we were doing here. Because he's like-minded, he has the same passion and he has the same, like he's smooth, you know, smooth brothers, you know,
right.
And he's a smooth brother and young men can relate to older men that are kind of smooth and he can talk to them and he can say, Rob is a good brother. And so that way the barriers are already kind of broken down because he's a brother that's smooth to talk to and he knows how to talk to young men. So, losing him, I was already prepared. Like from day one, I was like, okay, this guy ain't sticking around for long.
Right.
So I was already prepared for that, but, yeah, he's starting his own program down at the community college. And mind you, Coach Rob has, you know, been a head coach longer than I've been a head coach, you know, at the high school level. So it's not like he's, you know, he's
fresh
finally
in the
getting
water.
A shot.
Yeah,
yeah fresh. Yeah. And, you know, he's already seasoned. We were just fortunate to have him for those 2.5 years.
Awesome. I don't know if you remember last time we had you on the podcast, you talked about being on the set of Beverly Hills Cop 3. and one question I wanted to bring on and ask you, have you run into like any celebrities since The Last Chance You, either season 1 or season 2? And do you feel like yourself that you're a celebrity now that, you know, these shows are these two seasons specifically are kind of known?
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, man. I look at celebrities and I get it, you know, because I understand in terms of how the time is consumed and how people view you in regards to they see you on the show and they admire what was accomplished, or they admire the show, they admire the entertainment. And I like what John Wooden says: for every high, there's a low, and for every low, there's a high. You're not as great as people think, and you're not as bad a person as people think. And I think celebrities, you know, the word celebrity and celebrate, it's all, you know, you get celebrated. And a lot of people, they, you know, I'm sitting up there like, man, you want to take a picture of me? Like, who am I? I'm just a regular person. And so now when I look at celebrities, I know in their heart, they're like, you know what? I'm just a regular person, but hey, let me just smile and be a celebrity. Let me do what I do, or, you know, for these people. And I'll forget immediately. I'm out there coaching, or I'm in the gym, and I forget that I am, or that a lot of people know me. And then all of a sudden somebody will pop up like, hey, are you Coach Mosley from Last Chance? You were on the Netflix show. And I'm like, you know, I was in LA, man. I was at a fish market, you know, in the hood down in LA, and the liquor store was next door. And the brother was like, hey, man, you was on that show, huh? And I was like, yeah. You know, I was buying like a grape soda. Like, I was just straight ghetto with all my snacks, you know. And then in the greasy fish market next door, and everybody is. And yeah, you do forget, but I get it with the celebrities. I mean, I remember I was at a basketball, like Will Ferrell came to me and was like, hey, man, I'm a big fan. Like his son played on the team against my son.
Okay.
He's like, dude, I'm a big fan. I'm like, shoot, I'm a big fan of you. You know, like, so there's a lot of people that was like, man, I love what you've done. I love what you did. There's coaches that was like, man, that was phenomenal. Like respected people that like I respected and I looked up to, and they just respected my craft and what I've done. And I respect what they've done. And it's kind of there's kind of a fraternity of respect to say, man, I really know what you're going through. And I really know how hard it is to maintain a level of professionalism, to maintain or to be on that platform and to perform well and to do well. And then to have to live up to an expectations. I kind of get it. And, you know, it's a fraternity.
Yeah. Kind of going off of that, you mentioned it. In the coaching profession, you like it's a commitment to excellence, mm-hmm. and you have to try to balance that with your personal life and your family. What has been the most difficult thing about that work-life balance for you?
Well, you know what? I tell a lot of people, they say, man, how do you do it? How do you balance everything? And I kind of share this. I think this is something I've shared. Everybody, you know, literally when I'm speaking, they ask the same question. And it starts with ultimately, you know, the most important thing is my faith. Next is family. Next is career and pouring into that. But I'm 100% pouring into all three of those. And I think what happens is when it's time for me to spend time in regards to faith, that's 100%. It gets that time. When it's time for family, it gets 100%. And God is pursued. My faith is pursued through me spending time with my family. So that's the way I share and I glorify God is through how much time I pour into my family. And the way I glorify God is how much time I pour into the career and what I'm doing. And I'm pleasing God through my efforts in that and through all of those things. So, I'm honoring my family when I work as hard as I do on the court and in basketball. But what happens is I think my wife and our families, if we're doing something, I think our families understand the commitment that it takes. My wife knows that it's sometimes 14-hour days, but what she can't, what she doesn't understand and what she, it's hard for families to tolerate is after the 14, let's say it's 14-hour day because we had a game, we had this, we're traveling. But after that 14-hour, I say, you know what? I'm tired. I had a long 14 hours. I'm about to go to the bar or I'm about to go hang out. With, you know, and not in a bad way, but just say, I just need some me time. Well, you know what? If you're going to be this high level in terms of trying to perform this high level as a coach or in athletics, then you're trying to have a solid family where, you know, the family is first, then there's no, that's the sacrifice you make is the me time. You know, I don't go play golf. So I don't say, well, I'm a little bit of time with family, do my career, but I need to go play golf for half the day. I don't play golf. I don't have that me time. I don't say I'm going with the fellas and we're going to go to the football game and have a fellas night out or something like that. That's not me. So when I come home, my wife know that day's ends. I get 100% family time. Like I came home yesterday and I grabbed both of my daughters. I took one, dropped her off at her club basketball and took the other one to the batting cage, grabbed her back from the batting cage and went and finished watching my daughter's club. You know, so I started my day at you know, almost 7:30 and didn't end it till 10:30. And it was job related and it was family related. And I didn't have any me time. I don't even think I eat lunch. So I think that's what holds it together. And I think my family, they see that and they say, okay, dad's gone all day, but when he comes home, it's 100% us, you know? And then coming home, I went and grabbed groceries. So, you know, my wife who spent, you know, she's working as a teacher. She gets, you know, a few items that she didn't get a chance to pick up. And now there's my small token of love to my wife.
Right.
And she feels appreciated. Now she could just sit on the couch and didn't go have to grab milk and whatever other items we needed so the kids can make lunch for the next day. So that's just the way I see it. And that's what's worked. And my wife appreciates it. When we go on vacations, it's all her. And she knows maybe I have to pop on the phone because of the way my stuff works. And, you know, we're in a car, phone call, we're on vacation, we're on a family vacation driving. A recruit calls, man, I got to pick it up. A coach, college coach call, I got to pick that up because that's an important call. Everybody is quiet in the car. And
they already know.
And they already know. Mm-hmm. And it works that way. 100% into everything. And so when it's time to sit at home, I don't sit and watch on Sunday. I don't say, hey, everybody out. I'm watching the big screen. I'm watching NFL football. Bring me my food. I don't do that. If we're at home, if I can watch the game, fine. If not, I'll sit there and watch stinking Sherlock Holmes all mm-hmm. Sunday. My wife is crazy. She'll watch like Murder, She Wrote or something. I'm like, this is awful. I can't do it. But I'll sit there and do it because that's her time.
Right.
You know, so I'm not like selfish in that regard. And I think that's how we have to balance it. At least that's what works for me.
Your son Jackson was recently named to the first team for the All-Mission League. What is it like to see his progression as a player?
Well, for him to get recognition, you know, it's just hard for me to throw out the false celebration and the false recognition. And that's what's happening in our society. And I've kind of trained, you know, my kids and family that way. And all of my kids have phenomenal accolades and they've done some phenomenal things that haven't been recognized for. I don't want them to be over celebrated and think much of themselves. I want them to stay right where they're at, know that they're great in what they do and that they're going to be in the right space and they won't be over celebrated and not appreciate and not stop working. But I like to have that chip on our shoulder, but for him to get recognized by the coaches and for him not to have to publicly feel like, you know, he knew what he accomplished in that league. I mean, you're talking about, there's about 10, over 10 high major players in that league. And, you know, it was special to see that they recognized it. And I think, you know, Bronny James and a couple other guys, they missed a couple games in the league and they gave him, my son, the nod because he played all the games. He literally played every game. He had to play against those guys and he averaged about 19 points a game. And he's not, and he's a great student. And for him to get that, man, that accomplishment was phenomenal amongst those teams. I mean, there were three teams ranked in the top 20 in the country. And he performed against those three teams and the coaches recognized him for that. And I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to say, you know, my son is this, my son is that, you know, after they recognized it, I celebrated, but I don't push the agenda. If you don't want to recognize them, you know what, this is lessons. And I teach our young men with the team, like, don't look for false celebration. Don't, you know, just sit back and you continue to work. And it just continues to teach my son that he's got to continue to work. And we're not working for recognition. You're working for yourself and to perform so that you can move on. And your work is going to speak for itself. And you'll get what you're supposed to get. You're going to get your due. And don't look for anybody else to celebrate you. And so I like to be in the space where myself and my kids, we're on that underdog mode, and you don't want to celebrate us. That's fine. We're not going to put out this false narrative of who we are. We're going to just keep working. You're going to keep grinding, Mosley. You keep doing your thing. You know, he's a small guard and he did his thing and they recognized him. And we just keep it pushing from there, man. And I share that with our young men. Don't look for false celebration, man. But for them to recognize him, man, I was proud and I was happy for him to see that your work, you keep grinding, you keep working, and don't put out a false narrative. You'll eventually be celebrated.
That's a great, great mindset to have. We're in March Madness, obviously, in down to the Sweet 16 now. Who do you have cutting down the nets in the end on the men and the women's side?
Man, well, women's side, man, Dawn Staley, what she's doing is crazy. Yes. She's got that momentum going. So I'm just looking at, it's just going to be hard with the momentum. Even if a team is better, they just got too much momentum, too much fire going right now. You know, it's like a mission. It's like a statement being made with what she's doing. And so I'd have to say that. And on the men's side, I don't know. I got to go with a West Coast team, you know. It's hard. I haven't watched as much. It's kind of weird what's going on, but I haven't watched as much. A few games I've watched, but you know, I like Houston's still in, right?
Houston's still in.
So that was my
That was my pick as well.
That was my pick initially, man. I like what Samson is doing, and I saw some of his values early, and he was someone who, if he ever got the momentum, then I would pick him, and so he's who I pick. Early, before it even started, I said, I'm gonna pick Houston. So that's what I got. I got a Houston, man. On the West Coast, I'm UCLA USC football at UCLA. I got to put a USC in there
because I want to say you picked UCLA last time you were on.
Yeah, I got to do UCLA, USC football, UCLA basketball. I'm straight homegrown LA, man.
I'm going to stay with it down.
I'm just Lakers, Dodgers. I'm going to stay Raiders. Like, I'm just all West Coast, man. That's who I am. But I wanted to say, because I like what Cronin is doing at UCLA, but I think the injuries is going to hurt him.
Yeah.
That depth that hurt him. Otherwise, I would pick UCLA, but Houston, I'm going to have to go with. And then on the women's side, I'm going to say what Don is doing is amazing.
Yeah, I think Don, I really want them to finish with the perfect season to get up there. I still feel like she's underappreciated for what she's done there. But one last question before I get you out of here. One again. Hey, thank you for hopping on. One lesson that you would take from being on Last Chance U these past two seasons, excuse me, and you kind of mentioned it. Is there any chance that Netflix will come for our season three?
Well, I've spoken, and you know, some of the creators and directors, they've shown up to some of our games. It's like, oh, we miss you guys. And they watched our games this year. And we kind of played around with it or whatever. And the main guy was like, let's do it. And I'm just like, I don't know. So I don't even know if it's possible. I think it's up to Netflix. I think if they, the creators with Last Chance U, and the brand Last Chance U is owned by Netflix as well. But those who were, you know, who One Potato Production with Greg Whiteley and all those guys, I think they would love to come and do it again, but it would be up to Netflix to see, you know, they have these algorithms and different things to see.
Right. The data.
What shows are going to hit, what's going to happen. Do we need to move on from a different sport? You know, us as fans, we're like, no, we want this, we want that. But they have all the data on what works and when to release it. Like, I thought it was a nightmare to release it right in December. It was okay. It worked out. But I was like, dude, it's going to screw up my season. But it worked out well. It didn't screw us up that bad. So it's up to Netflix, man, if they decide they want to fund those projects. But what I've learned, man, is, you know what? I had a philosophy on how I wanted to do things and what I wanted to do. And, you know, being a man of faith. And for the most part, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. But the majority of what I've done before the show even came out, it produced good. The majority of what I've done produced good. And before that, I've questioned, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing? But because what I've done produced good before the show came out. And then the show comes out and what we've done and what we've accomplished, it produced good, not just, you know, winning basketball games, but transferring young men, you know, impacting lives, planting seeds, right. Just my faith and what I believe, all those things, they were on the good side. They were on the positive side. They were things that all of us in society could benefit from. You know, you still question yourself if you're doing the right thing. Well, when it's put on display, when your life is put on display and the majority of the world appreciates it and the majority of the world says is encouraged by it, then I would encourage anybody that if you're going in the right direction, if you're not shady, if you're not whatever it is and you're not getting credit, you're not getting paid, you're not getting any of that, continue to do what you're doing to impact the world and impact people. And regardless if you're getting credit, and I was doing it for years and no credit. And I just felt like, man, this is my life and this is who I'm going to be. And all of a sudden out of the blue, this show just shows up and decides they want to, you know, they want to document it. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do that because I'm not in it for that. I'm in it for these young men and to impact lives and to plant seeds of faith. And once we committed to it and once I decided to commit to it, I really was afraid because I was like, you know what? I'm not into the show. I'm not into that. But I saw that I think there were some people and there was a place for the world to see it, to see that there is some good happening and to see how lives can be transformed, that if we could just jump in and you know, so if anybody has a vision and has that's doing good, just continue to do what you're doing, man. Just continue to have the impact on lives. Or if it's just business, if it's not ministering, if it's not if you're in business and you're doing good and you're not getting recognition and credit, just continue to do it, you know, regardless if you get recognition or credit. But what I've seen is that, yeah, there I do have a purpose and I do have a impact. And for anybody out there, man, just continue with your purpose and your impact, regardless if you get recognition or not. Because if I didn't get recognition, I would still be doing it just as passionately. I would still be fiery. I would still be going at it. I'm doing it now. I'm still the same way. I just got my voice back. I'm 2 weeks out and my voice is finally back. But I would still be doing it. And now I'm even more sure that the work that we've done, I'm encouraged, like, okay, that gives me energy. That gives me some juice to keep doing what I'm doing. Regardless, I can go throughout the year and it just seems like, oh man, this just doesn't seem like it's going to work out. But ultimately it will. And I just want to encourage anybody who has a passion, a desire, or whatever you're doing. I mean, you're doing the, you know, you got to, you're doing the duo. I mean, whatever it is, whatever vision you see,
right.
It's on the plus side. If it's on the negative side, maybe there's some questions you got to question. But if it's on the plus side, man, keep pursuing, keep doing what you're doing and have passion about it. And, you know, ultimately, I believe it, you know, it's the right thing, regardless if you're getting the recognition, regardless if you're on this grand stage or platform. They just put me on the grand stage. They just put me on the platform to where, and then they put some music behind it and they,
right.
You know,
make it all cinematic.
cinematic and they edited it to make it look, you know, sensational. But ultimately the work that we're doing, I'm going to continue to do it. But it just clarified, that, yeah, that this is my purpose and it gave some credibility to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for, as a fan on this side to see it. I think it's very important what you've done. And I think the world that has watched the show can also see the impact that you've had. Thank you so much for joining the duo a second time. You joined the likes of, we had Jay Billis on twice too, so you're up there with Jay now. but appreciate you so much, Coach. Have a good one, man.
I appreciate you. All right, thanks. The duo. The duo. The duo.